time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello, and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us again today on Abounding Grace, and we are currently in Matthew chapter 2, considering the Christmas account of the birth of Christ, and we have found some fascinating truths, at least in contrasting them with what's going on today and the market-driven, consumerized Christianity and celebration of Christmas that is all around us. It surely does not square with what the Bible presents to us in Matthew chapter 2. We really should have a right and proper perspective on what we celebrate. Because though we shout for joy at the coming of Christ, and though we shout at joy for his birth, we surely aren't left there. This child grew in stature and wisdom before all men, and this child suffered all of his life, and then as an adult, he went all the way to the cross, bearing our sins, removing us as Christians from the curse of the law, and now is resurrected. And so a proper perspective, we have to say, of Christmas takes us to the resurrection. Let's not forget that as we think about what we're celebrating this time of year. But at least looking today at the biblical accounts and throughout this week, we are really pressed in Matthew's gospel with the issue of just who is the true king. Remember, yesterday we looked at the fact that when Jesus was born, there was an imposter sitting on David's throne in Jerusalem ruling over the Jews. It was Satan's king. This was a man who was an Edomite. He was not even of the line, and he was sitting on the throne. And what makes this text so powerful is this contrast, asking the question and posing for us this war over just who is the true king. You remember in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod, the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, I said yesterday, this is a fascinating situation, isn't it? These wise men are going around Jerusalem asking, where is the king of the Jews? We've seen his star and we've come to worship him. Now, hold on for a second. Wasn't Herod the king? To make matters all the worse, they're doing this in Jerusalem, the city of the great king of whom Herod thinks he is. He had built this elaborate temple, a 40-year task, with all of his splendor and all of his glory and all of his might and power, and he was reigning upon his throne there. And the picture of Herod's kingdoms that we see today, at least that are diagrammed for us, are beautiful. Yet here comes these foreigners in the streets of Herod's kingdom capital saying, where is the king? We have seen his star. It's interesting that Herod is called king in verse 1, but in contrast, these magi come calling Jesus Christ the king of the Jews in verse 2. Here we have these magi or wise men in Jerusalem asking, where is the king to be born? Who were they? Well, from tradition, it seems that they were astrologers who held a high place from the region of Persia. That is why we have the language that they were from the east and were magi or wise men. But what's really important for us to see is that these were Gentiles. Now that's significant. Friends, who really was celebrating when the king finally arrived on the scene of history? Oh, we might think of John the Baptist, the father of Zechariah, who had prophesied of the deliverance who would be found in the Christ, or maybe Anna, who spoke to the Lord in the temple day and night and was constantly looking for the redemption in Jerusalem. Or maybe Simeon, who longed to see the Messiah because he would not taste death until his eyes would gaze upon him. But is that it? Luke tells us of some shepherds who came to see him, but can it be true that in all of these years of eager expectation, Abraham's descendants, as the stars in the heavens and the sand on the seashore, only a handful in all the nation of Israel was really rejoicing at his coming? You know, furthermore, our text presents to us something amazing that the majority of these weren't even Jews. We read that the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Isn't it fascinating, my friends, that we have Gentile wise men coming to the worship of Christ in spirit and in truth, and yet his own people, those who had for years eagerly awaited his coming, rejected him. You know, I was talking with someone the other night, and one of them said, "You know, if we were living at the time of Christ's coming, and we were of the Jewish religion, would we have received Christ?" That's thought-provoking, isn't it? Because astonishingly, it says in verse 3 that Herod and all Jerusalem were troubled. The word actually means frightened or terrified. They were troubled when they heard that this new king had arrived on the scene of history. Here, the long-awaited true king had come, the city of the great king, Jerusalem heard about it, and guess what? They did not want him. All of the prophets and all of their forefathers had prophesied of this. The entire Old Testament looked at to this point in time. In 1 Peter 1, verse 10, we read, "Of this salvation, the prophets inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time." Hebrews 9:26 states, "But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." That's what they looked for. And what do you read in Matthew chapter 2? Other than that Israel wanted nothing to do with the true king. And that's significant, that right from the start, we have rejection of Christ. And the first fruits of the Gentiles are coming to worship him. Even from his birth, the door of salvation was being opened wide to all the tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations. Now that just tells us that our hearts by nature reject Christ, don't they? Our hearts by nature do not want him. And that we see so clearly when the fact that Herod, in his great concern, gathers all of the chief priests and the scribes together in his murderous plot to kill him, and says, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" I think one of the most moving things about Matthew chapter 2 is that they know the scriptures. They quote to Herod, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Here for over 1,000 years, national Israel looked for their Messiah. He came, and they even beheld him, and the world at that time rejected him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And yet all the while they knew from Scripture that he was to be born in Bethlehem. What's so special about Bethlehem? Well, Bethlehem is the very place that King David was born and anointed. And it takes us, my friends, right back to the promise that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that was promised and pointed to in the Old Testament. That David's kingdom would have no end. He is the one to sit on the throne forever. Jesus Christ is our King. Listen to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." An amazing context. Notice how Micah says that this baby Jesus is the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. The Messiah is God in the flesh. What a text. All the leaders of the Jews are quoting this. They know exactly what the scriptures say about the Christ. And here he was. And what do we read? They were troubled. Herod calls his wise men together, and secretly he then tells them to bring back word when they have found him. Herod then wants, he says, to worship this child. But in his heart, my friends, he wanted to destroy the baby Jesus. What deception! He claims to want to worship the Christ, and in a little matter of time, he will seek to destroy his life. Now we see what Christmas is all about, don't we? My friends, it was war for the child Jesus to be born. If Satan could have just prevented it, he would have won, and we would have all been in hell for an eternity. That is the truth about Christmas. There were only a few shepherds and a few wise men that were really happy, but the world in Jerusalem was troubled at the birth of this king. They hated his coming. They sought for his destruction. Satan gave all his force to prevent the curse that the seed of the woman would crush his head. That is the Christmas story. A story of war for the birth of the Christ. And a story of redemption accomplished for the Christian. And now we can understand why the host of angels could praise God and say glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men, for is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Was it some peaceful nativity scene? No. Was it not a merry event to the world? Absolutely not. There were no parties, only the angels and only a few magi and a few shepherds on the hillside understood the great victory and the glory that accompanied the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now that makes me pause today and makes me ask all of you out there, how do you relate to this king? You see, if this is the reality that many of even God's chosen people, Israel, and all of the world did not want him and they rejected him, have you believed in this Jesus? Have you repented? Have you bowed the knee to this king? There's a frightful warning here. For all of those who do not bow their knee and confess him as Lord and repent of their sins, in this window of opportunity, in this day of salvation, let me say, you will do it on that day, and then the wrath of God will fall upon you. But if you believe in Jesus today, have fallen before him, come to him as a broken sinner, know that this king receives you. He receives you with open arms and will give you the only grace and the only nourishment and the only care that is able to deliver your soul. Do you believe in this king today? I plead with you today. Repent and trust in this King, Jesus Christ, and then you will know what it truly means. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men, for is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. If you would like to know more about this Jesus who saves sinners from their sins, come and join us for worship, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays at the Linden United Reformed Church. Our promise to you is no gimmicks, no tickling of the ears, but the pure proclamation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com, or you may call 360-318-0429. May this Jesus be your King in the day of salvation so that you may know what it is to have life.